Father, we just bless you, Lord, for your extravagant love, that in you is fullness of joy. Father, that in you we have everything. We just bless you, Lord. We bless you, Father, for dancing with us, Lord, for receiving our praise and worship, Father. For inhabiting our praises, Lord, for dwelling among us, Father. We thank you. We bless you. And Father, we just position ourselves, Lord, to receive what you have for us today, Father. That everything that you have for us, Lord. We thank you, Holy One. Thank you for open ears, Father, for open hearts, for open eyes, Lord God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Holy One. Yes, Lord. Well, we're just going to transition and flow into the rest of the service. The children are wonderfully dismissed. And bear with me 1 minute as I get my things together. Well, God bless you. I think I have all my things. If you don't mind me, I'm going to be sucking on a couple of cough drops, obviously. Fighting off something here, but actually, if I can have all of you stretch your arms out towards me. Oh. Oh. Yes, Lord. Oh. Hey. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, it is good to be back in this house. It's good to be here once again. For those who may be new or don't know who I am, my name is Cynthia Liptak, married to this wonderful man. And our wonderful pastors, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, are currently in Indonesia, along with Michelle Oliver. And they will actually be returning this week. So, from what I understand, very super busy in Indonesia, everything going awesome. And please continue to cover them as they, I believe they are scheduled to land here in Cleveland on Wednesday the 30th. So, and you can check out updates and such on our website as they are available. Yes, Lord. Well, as I was preparing, oh, my heart and such for this word, there's a few questions that crossed my heart, so I'm just gonna dive right in. And I'm, you know, how it goes with me, I might cry, I might laugh, I might, you know, whatever. So, but you don't have to answer these. I mean, you can inside your heart. You can raise your hand if you like. But they're intended to kind of just, you know, get you going, stir you up. This morning, I'm really just what I kept hearing was being stirred up and built up in my most faith. So I just believe that the Lord this morning wants to really stir us up, to get us going, to stir our hearts, to stir us out of our gunk, to stir us out of the places we've been in, to stir us up to, if we're lit on fire, he wants to burn you even more. If you're nowhere near being on fire, he wants to light you up. He wants to stir this morning. He wants to stir you up in your innermost being and in your inner man. He is just wanting to mess you all up this morning. Just mess us all up. Why? Because he is good. Because he is full of love, full of grace, and full of mercy. That's why he wants to mess us up this morning. You can ponder that one. He wants to mess us up because that's how much he loves us. So how many of us, you know, are loving life today? How many can say life couldn't be any better than this? I am fulfilled and satisfied in every way. I am living the life I was created for. You know, how many of us can say yes, yes, yes to all of those? And if we can, awesome, praise the Lord. And if we can't, if I can't, there's just one thing to say to that. And that is, shut up, devil. Shut up. Shut up, because you are a liar. Shut up, devil. Shut up. Because in him, in Christ Jesus, who is truth, we have fullness. We have abundance. He is, and he was, and he will continue to be. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. There is no beginning and there is no end. There's no pausing. There's no retreating. He is it. And if we have him, then we have the fullness of everything that we need. And we can be living our lives, loving our lives today. We can be fulfilled and satisfied in every way because he is the fullness of all of that. He is it. He is everything. He is everything. He is the beginning and the end. He is everything. Ho, allow your spirit to grab that he is everything. In him is fullness. In him is fullness. And anything that speaks different to that, it is a lie. And our response should be, shut up, devil. Just shut up. Ho, because in him is fullness. In him is fullness. In him we are fully satisfied. In him we are fully satisfied. Yes, Lord. I always love it when, worship connects with the message. And, you know, as Jamie was starting to sing the Alpha and Omega and beginning, and I was like, thank you, Lord. I love it when you do that to me. He tends to do that. Just, he speaks my language to let me know that, you know, yes, you have heard. So I was just excited. So if John 1, if we could go there, if you like. Going to establish here some things. Because if the devil is who he is, and there's fullness in him, in the Lord, there's fullness in the Lord. John 1, sorry, I didn't finish that thought. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. But mine is NIV, by the way. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Verse 10, he was the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace, full of truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, he comes after me, has surpasses me because he was before me." Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in the place of grace already given. For it was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself, God, and is in the closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. He has made him known. You know, and as I was looking at it, I was like, Lord, well, if you're telling me to tell the devil to shut up because he's a liar, you know, Lord, what are you saying? So he took me to this passage, obviously, and just, you know, and I mean, there's obviously more throughout scripture, but just really, you know, establishing that the Lord, that in the beginning was the Word, and everything is from him, through him, for him, of him, because of him, and that there is nothing else. That Jesus Christ, that through him is truth and grace, that only truth comes from him, comes from the Lord. Truth. And today I just believe that the Lord really wants to, again, stir us up and perhaps open our hearts to further revelation of what that means in the deeper depths. Obviously, yes, Jesus is true, duh, because he's good and he loved us and, you know, he died for us and he's a good guy, so he's true. But he is truth. In him is fullness, and he is truth. There is truth. He is truth. He is truth. He is truth. He is truth. And I just believe that the Lord wants to hit parts in our hearts and our minds and our thinking and our actions and our walking and our talking that haven't been able to fully grab and grasp that he is truth. That he is truth. That he is truth. That he is, that he is truth. In John 8, go down there. You know, there's the dispute over Jesus' testimony, dispute over who Jesus is, dispute over whose children Jesus' opponents are. So there's, you know, some question going on of who are you, what are you doing, you're the devil, you're demon-possessed, no, I'm not, no, he's not, he couldn't heal people if he was demon-possessed, yes, he is, no, he isn't. And Jesus is just throwing back a lot of questions and kind of nailing them to the wall with some awesome responses. But the verses I want to focus on right now are starting verse 42. That Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God has to say, what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Yeah, so he wasn't messing around. You know, he was saying, You can't hear me because you are so deceived, because you've given in to lie after lie after lie after lie, that you can't see the truth when it's standing before you. You can't see the truth when it's standing before you in its fullness. And I was like, oh Lord, forgive me, Father, and may I never not be able to see you in your fullness in my life. May I never be in that place where I can't hear or see Jesus, the fullness of truth, the fullness of who he is in any aspect, area of my life. Lord, guard my heart. Lord, keep me where I need to be. He was standing there, literally, physically, truth, the fullness of it all was standing there, and they just didn't get it. They couldn't see it. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't accept it. Why? Why? It tells us there, why? Because they belong to the father of lies. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is the liar and the father of lies. Church, and I just believe that the Lord this morning is saying, no more lies for you. 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 Oh, he wants to reveal the fullness of his truth in every realm of your life. In any part of our hearts that we can't see him, that we can't enjoy the fullness of who he is saying, oh, wake up, church. Wake up and realize and recognize that the language of the enemy is lies, that he is a liar, that he is a liar, and he will lie to you to keep you in cycles and sin, full of issues and hurts and wounds. He is saying, truth, allow the fullness of who I am to invade every corner, to invade every part of who you are. Because that is who he is. He is truth. And in him there is nothing else. And the devil is a liar. That is all that he is. He loves to lie. He loves to stir up. He loves to mess you up in a very bad way. If we need, the devil is a liar, and he should be seen and treated as such. Can you catch that? He is a liar, and he should be treated and seen as such. So when something comes your way that isn't lined up with kingdom, that isn't lined up with Jesus, that isn't found in the fullness of who Jesus is, it is a lie, and it should be treated as such. We shouldn't, pat it on the back and say, oh, well, whatever. Or entertain. Quick. No more passive. Quick. That is a lie, and I see it for what it is. You are a liar, devil. Shut up. Shut up. And I was like, Lord, what do you mean he should be treated as such? Fully aware, fully knowing, always alert that he is a liar, that he lies a lot about everything, all the time. That is his scheme, that is his plan, that's his agenda, to lie to you to the point where you are so convinced and deceived that you cannot see, that you cannot experience, that you cannot encounter, that you cannot enjoy the life that you were intended to live. You know, and sometimes, you know, bold-faced lie, we call them, you know, that's just straight up in your face. Like, I'm wearing a green sweater today, right, guys? Duh, no, it's pink or whatever, magenta or whatever. I don't know, hot pink. You know, so some of those things are obvious. Some of those things, you know, we catch. Oh, yeah, that, you know, that's a lie from the enemy. That's not who I am. That's not my portion. You know, that is just, you know, just a lie. I'm not, I can see that. Well, he's also very crafty and very sneaky. And I believe that the Lord today wants to get to those deeper again, those, let me grab some water, excuse me. You know, in the places that maybe we haven't been able to recognize them so quickly. You know, they're a little bit more subtle, that there's, you know, they come in the back door, or it's twisted truth, which is a lie. And I just believe that the Lord wants to awaken us to be able to discern those things, be able to see those things in the natural, in the spirit, in every realm that is available to us. And I believe another question the Lord is asking is, you know, what lies have I been believing? I know Pastor Mary Pat says that all the time, and she says it for a very good reason, because it's a very good question. You know, what lies am I believing in my relationship with the Lord? What lie am I believing in my relationship with my family, my spouse, my roommate, my neighbor, my grandparents? You know, Lord, is there anything in there that isn't lining up? Anything that isn't Jesus? Anything that isn't kingdom? You know, in John 10:10 is a familiar verse. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, we read that, we quote it, it's on our refrigerator, it's in our pocket, it's highlighted in our Bibles probably. You know, it's something that we hear. The thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. And I just believe that the Lord is also getting to today that he wants the full for you. The full, the fullness, the fullness of him. That you're not just living life to live life. That you're not just an open target and everything that the enemy shoots your way. You're just like, okay, all right, okay. I'm depressed again. I'm sad again. I'm lonely again. I'm down again. I've sinned again. I've fallen again. Because the enemy wants you to believe the lie that there's nothing that you can do about it. And the Lord is saying you can do everything about it. You can do everything about it. You can run. You can resist. You can move. You can tell him to shut up. You can tell him to leave. You can tell him. You can do everything, church. You can do everything. Everything. And he wants you to believe that there is nothing that you can do. Oh, and the Lord is saying, yes, you can. If you are in me, you can do everything. You are not a target. You are not a punching bag. You are not. You were not created. You were not created. Oh, to live from that perspective, entangled with lies that create webs, lies that a layer upon layer upon layer upon layer has been stacked against you, that you walk around so heavy that you don't know what end is up or down, that there's so much confusion in your heart that you just want to give up. The Lord is saying, you don't have to live that way, my beloved. Oh, that you don't have to live that way. And the devil is a liar. And he is a liar. And he will always lie. And the Lord is saying, oh, In me is fullness of truth. In me is truth. In me is fullness. Oh, allow his fullness to invade your heart. Allow his fullness. Oh, to overcome you, to overtake you. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And so in John 10:10, you know, again, it's a scripture that we have all the time. But when we are in the middle of whatever circumstance or situation, whenever we find ourselves in, you know, in an emotional battle, in a relational battle, whatever, oh, can we step back and see this? Can we step back and see, oh my gosh, I can see the scheme of the enemy. It's to destroy. It's to steal from me. And it's to kill me. You know, we hear the other scripture, which I'm probably going to read a little bit, that, you know, our fight is not against flesh and blood. That, you know, it's against principalities and the such. And I'm killing it right now, but I'll read it in a little bit. But when we are in the heat of the moment, when we are stuck in whatever situation or circumstance, church, can we take a step back and analyze things from that perspective? The Lord wants us to have a spiritual perspective in those situations. That when Lawrence and I get into a tense situation or going back and forth about something, can we disengage? Can we give up the right to be right? Can we give up and step back and say, whoa, you know what? This isn't the Lord. There is no truth in this. There is no truth. The Lord doesn't want us to be at each other. Can I disengage? Can Lawrence disengage from what we deserve, what our natural desire would be? And can we look at it from a spiritual perspective? With this situation, with this argument, with this whatever, the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy from me, from him, from our relationship, from our children, and from everybody else we affect. Can we see that? The Lord wants to take us from seeing things from this perspective to this perspective. And can I, you know what, honey, sugar bunny, muffin, can we just stop right now? Can we go before the Lord? Can we pray? Can we feel? Can we see? Can we realize? The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy from me, from you, from everybody in this situation. And I just believe that the Lord wants to, you know, do something in that for us today. That we don't have to fight. We don't have to argue. We don't have to, you know, I'm right, you're wrong, and blah, 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 and yada, yada, with our whoever, our roommates, our parents, our, you know, that we aren't called to be carriers of tension. We aren't called to be instigators. We aren't called to do that. That when a harsh word comes, oh, Lord, that one kind of hurt. That one got close to my heart. But Father, I'm releasing that to you right now. I'm releasing that to you because first of all, it's a lie because you don't see me that way. Lord, what is the spiritual scheme? What is the attack of the enemy in the spiritual realm? Because if truth says that our fight is not against flesh and blood, if our fight is not against flesh and blood, but principalities, and where our fight is against the enemy, our fight is against strongholds and principalities and the such, right? That's our enemy. That's who we're fighting. At least that's what the Bible says. So stop making the people who are closest to you your target. Stop making them your target because they're not your target. The sin is, the evil is, but they are not your target. It is not our job to judge and criticize them and get the, you know, get them to shape up in a natural perspective. Go to your knees and pray for them. Pray for them. Handle it in the spiritual realm. Handle it in the spiritual realm. Handle it in the spiritual realm. And see the Lord bring it and manifest it on this earth. Handle it in the spiritual realm so you're not caught up in those lies of this realm. Because the tactic again of the enemy is to keep us so blinded with lies in this natural realm that we can't see from a spiritual perspective. And if we are always alert and fully aware, and it's always at the forefront of my mind, that the scheme of the enemy is to kill, steal, and destroy, and that he lies, it becomes so easy to pick him out of the crowd. It becomes so easy to see him coming 5 miles away, 10 miles away. It becomes so easy to say, I'm sorry you're having a hard day. I love you. Can I pray for you? Versus, you're not telling me that, and you do, and I'm right, and you're wrong, and husband. Sorry, baby, just pick on you. Disengage. Disengage. Because the devil is a liar, intended for our destruction, keeping us in those webs. In those webs that it becomes hard to move. It becomes hard to see. It becomes hard to function. So looking for some scriptures again on more truth, and I came across this one, and excuse me. Isaiah 59, sin, confession, and redemption. And you know, it's going through and talking about a lot of things, and you know, they hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web and the such, and it goes on. But what really jumped out at me, and I believe there's a lot more revelation to this, and I'll throw it there and allow the Lord to bring that more. I'm just going to start in verse 12 really quick. For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sin testifies against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, inciting revolt and oppression, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. And I read verse 15 like 5 times. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. I was like, well, Lord, I thought we were called to shun evil, right? Like shun maybe I'm not, you know, maybe my Spanish and English are getting mixed up. I thought shunning was a good, you know, you shun, you turn away from. I thought it was a good thing. But then why does it say, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey? Right? Because wouldn't that indicate that if I shun evil, it comes after me? Right? You guys can respond to that. I'm kind of looking for some help. So, you know, he who shuns evil becomes prey. And so, you know, truth is nowhere to be found. And we always want to be found in truth. So I looked up, as always, definitions. Shun, to keep away from motives, to keep away from a place, person, object, from motives or dislike, caution, take pains to avoid deliberately, keep away from. Prey, you know, the animal taken by a predator as food, and then one that is helpless or unable to resist attack. So I, again, just kept pondering that, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. But I thought if I turned away from it, it would have to go away, right? So then in the definition of prey, it says one that is helpless or unable to resist. And then that took me to, in my thoughts, James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So I was like, well, Lord, it says here, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So I looked up resist, because I'm like, well, what's the difference between shunning and resisting? Resist, to withstand, strive against, or to oppose. To withstand the action or effect of. To refrain or abstain from. To make a stand or make efforts in opposition. Act in opposition. Offer resistance. So we're not just turning our back from evil and sin. We're offering resistance. We are offering resistance. We are taking a stand. We're acting in opposition to strive to fend off or offset the actions, effects, or force of. To remain firm against the actions, effects, or force of. To withstand. To keep from giving into or enjoying. So how do I not become a prey? I submit myself to the Lord, and then I resist the devil, and he will flee. I offer resistance. I act in opposition. I rise up in an opposite spirit, and I resist, and I keep from giving in or enjoying sin, evil, lies. And then there was another interesting definition that has to do with metal, but a substance that can cover and protect a surface as from corrosion. And again, that's a definition regarding to metal. But go with me here for a moment. A substance. Resistance is a substance that can cover and protect from corrosion. It's a substance that can cover and protect from corrosion in my heart. That can keep from the slow eating away of who I am and the fullness of Christ in me, through me, for me. And there was another definition, Latin, resistir, or resistir, whatever. In Spanish, resistir. To remain standing is to resist. To remain standing. So I'm acting in opposition. I'm offering resistance. I'm keeping from giving in or enjoying. And I remain standing. You know, church, are we resisting the devil? Are we resisting him? Do we offer resistance? Do we offer resistance when he comes? Do we offer resistance when those lies whip out of nowhere or through someone or from someone or a circumstance? Do we offer resistance to the enemy? You know, mental picture, I think in picture sometimes, and, you know, it was the football guy, and if I knew how to do it, I would do it, but, you know, when they're in the line or, you know, in practice or whatever, that, you know, there's resistance offered. There's a pushing. There's an acting. There's a stepping forward, putting everything they have into it to push the opponent back. So in your life, church, are we putting everything that we have? Are we stepping into it? And are we positioned? How to resist him? Are we positioned to actively offer Who? Opposition. Who? Oh, the Lord just wants to position us in our hearts and in our spirits to offer that resistance by His Spirit, which is Him, which is His fullness. Oh. Oh, position us, oh Lord, that we would resist, that we would offer something back, that we wouldn't just turn our eyes the other direction, and if I ignore it, maybe it won't come back. If I ignore that sin, if I ignore that habit, if I ignore that thinking pattern, if I ignore my outburst, if I ignore that, my speech, maybe it'll go away. Maybe something, you know, it'll fly away until the next time we find ourselves in that cycle of sin, feasting from a bowl full of lies. And the Lord is saying, resist, offer something, get in that position, get in that stance, and push back, push back, push back, church, push back. Because you can, because it is your right, because it is your promise, because it is the authority that you have that you carry. It is your authority in Him, because of Him. Because He's the beginning, and because He's the end, because He's Alpha and Omega. How resist? You have that authority. When those feelings come, when those emotions comes, when that thinking comes of whatever, holy, resist, resist, resist. Offer something back. And if all you can offer is Jesus, then offer Jesus, because that's all we need. But offer something back. Oh, you don't need to receive it. You don't need to accept it. You don't need to entertain it. Because when you entertain a lie, then you engage, and then you're there, and then, you eat it, and then here comes another one, and then you're eating a whole cake. And then it creates a, well, I did it before, why not again? So as I saw the that definition of remain standing, to resist, remain standing. which that took me then to Ephesians 6. Where I believe Paul is speaking here. And I want to focus on the armor of God, which starts verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. The Lord wants to strengthen us today. He wants to strengthen you. Ooh, He wants to strengthen you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Lying, amongst other things. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of Cynthia. No. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And when we're standing, what are we doing? We're resisting. You're able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Don't try to multitask when you're reading, apparently. I was thinking about something else. But anywho, back to here. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. You know, I think that sometimes we get in the places that we end up because we forget to put on the full armor of God. Because if our battle, again, is not in this realm, our battle is in the heavenlies against spiritual authorities, powers of darkness, spiritual forces. And we've been equipped to do that. You know, that sometimes we do put on our own armor because we believe the lies that the enemy throws our way, so we put on our own armor instead of the shield of faith that protects us. Maybe it's this huge wall. Instead of relying on the Lord to be our shield, or faith to be our shield, we put up our own shield, our own wall. And you can only come this close, but don't get too close. Scoot back, por favor. You know, or instead of being fitted with the gospel of peace, you know, we put on military boots, ready to kick somebody in the face as soon as they don't think the way you think. Or maybe instead of the breastplate of righteousness, it's a breastplate of arrogance, because I'm the man and the woman. You are beneath me. I am the spiritual one. Therefore, submit, little people. You know. Or maybe we arm ourselves with control, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how things are going to work out. So today I'm going to arm myself with control so that everything is smooth, everything is in line, I don't get hurt, you don't ask me questions, I don't ask you too hard of a questions, everybody's happy, peace is maintained, supposedly, and everything's good. Or maybe we arm ourselves with fear, which is a big lie from the enemy. Did you know that? Fear is just a big fat lie. Fear is a big fat lie intended for you to get in a tizzy about things. Fear is a lie. Any kind of fear. Fear of man, fear of the dark, fear of anything. Fear is a lie. Because it implies that there's nothing out there that's going to help you, rescue you, or see you through. Which is not truth. Because the Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit is there. So are we every day putting on the full armor of God? Are we arming ourselves with the armor that He's designed for us? That He's designed for us. So as I was looking through, looked up some things. Belt of truth buckled around your waist, which keeps... Let me read it. I don't want to misquote it. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Okay, so belt. flexible band worn waist to support clothing, or secure tools or weapons. Because I believe, as I believe you believe, that the Lord is intentional. So I was like, Lord, if you went through the trouble to put this out here, to so carefully word these things, you know, he didn't say, therefore, why isn't it a belt of righteousness and a, you know, and a breastplate of truth? You know, why isn't it feet fitted for truth and a, you know, why should it be a belt of truth? Why did the Lord do that? Why did he say that? If he's intentional, if he's trying to get across a message that will equip us, why about Lord of Truth? Why truth be the belt? Why couldn't I wear truth, you know, as a shield? Truth protects. Well, as it says there, a belt secures things. It keeps things together. It supports the tools of our weapons. So the truth keeps us, and truth, a statement proven to be. You know, in the picture that I had, what I thought about, you know, a safety belt, because it keeps us safe. Truth keeps us safe. Truth keeps me supported. Truth keeps me secure. So that's why, because truth is what keeps me, keeps the rest of the weapons in line. It supports. And a breastplate of righteousness in place. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. Breastplate, armor that covers, you know, I thought of the heart right away. You know, righteousness. What is righteousness? The quality or state of being righteous, holy, and pure. So he says, arm yourself with the breastplate of righteousness and keep it in place. With breastplate of righteousness in place. So that my heart is always guarded in righteousness, in holiness, in purity, that it always stays in that place of purity. Lord, purify my heart. May it always stay in that place of holiness and righteousness. Feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Feet, you know what feet are. Readiness, the state or quality of being ready, of being prepared. So the Lord is saying, your feet be fitted, always being ready and prepared. That comes from the gospel of peace. So we are always prepared and ready in peace because of peace. We gospel proclamation of peace. So that, you know, we take peace. Where we go, we're proclaiming that peace. But that also we would be always ready in peace. Does that make sense? That we take peace where we go, so we're not carriers of drama. We're not carriers of drama. We're not carriers of drama. Drama is drama. And that's all it is. Drama is drama. Our feet should not be fitted with drama. So where we go, we don't carry drama. We don't carry issues. We don't carry lies. We don't carry drama. We carry peace. We proclaim peace where I go. But I am also always ready in peace. So I carry peace, but I'm always ready and prepared in peace, because my feet, they take me, but they also help me stand firm. So I am standing in peace, always ready with peace, to offer peace, to give peace, to remain, to stand in peace, being supported by truth, keeping purity and holiness in my heart. So I take peace, but I remain in peace. I'm always ready with peace. So when the drama does come, not from you, of course, but from somebody else, that peace, we are ready to operate in peace. We're operating in peace. We speak peace, we eat peace, we peace. We're always ready in peace. Peace. Peace, peace. Shield of faith. In addition, take up the shield of faith, which with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Again, shield is armor, protection, faith, confident belief in truth. Confident belief in truth is my faith. So we are protected with that. So instead of being, you know, building our own walls of protection, manipulation, shame, fear, control, condemnation, blah, 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 our protection should be faith. Our shield. What keeps the enemy out. What catches the flaming arrows of that evil one. Which actually extinguishes them. Sorry. Doesn't catch them. It extinguishes all the flaming arrows. Is our faith. Is our shield of faith. And faith is confident belief in the truth. And who is truth? Amen. So our shield of faith, because I am confident in truth. I am confident that my God will come through for me. I am confident that my God will supply all my needs according to his riches. I am confident that every promise that he has given shall come to pass. I am confident that if I am sick or dying or whatever, that he is there with me. I am confident that if I'm flying high and happy and drunk in the Holy Ghost, he is with me. In every situation, I am confident that the fullness of who the Lord is always with me. Always. Confident in truth. Are we confident in truth, church? Are we confident? Confident. When you're confident, do you walk around, you know, no, when I'm confident, we walk upright. We talk like we know what we're talking about because we're confident in truth. We behave in a confident manner. We communicate in confidence. Again, go, you know, not arrogance, not pride, because that's all from the enemy, and that's another lie. All lies. But in humility, as we heard about. Confident in truth, value, or trustworthiness of a person. Is the Lord, do you believe that the Lord is trustworthy in your life? Trustworthy, that the Lord is trustworthy. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Helmet of salvation. And again, obviously, helmet, head covering. Helmet, the definition is a head covering. And what's in our head? Hopefully our brains. it's okay, you go laugh with me. Head covering, our mind, our thoughts. Yes? So my head covering is of salvation. And what is salvation? Redemption, deliverance from destruction, difficulty or evil. So my head covering, my mind, my thoughts are always covered with redemption, salvation, deliverance. My mind is renewed. My thoughts are renewed. My covering. You know, maybe some of us have been walking around with all the other parts except our helmet off. We left that back at the ranch. So everything, you know, truth, and there's readiness, and there's peace, and, you know, I got that, and the faith, and whatever. But oops, the helmet. So what's it being filtered through? Is it the mind of Christ or is it the mind of Cynthia? You know, what is it being filtered through? And then finally, or not finally, but you know what I mean, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Sword, weapon, a two-edged sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit, Word of God. And who is the Word of God? Huh? Jesus. Yes, Jesus. 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 Is he your sword? Is the Word of God, both in written and in fullness form? Is Jesus the person and Jesus the written word, the Bible, is that your sword? Is that who fights for you? Or is it you? Is it me? Is he the one that fights your battles? Is he the one that is, you know, ha-cha! Is that me? Knocking everybody and everything out? Or is it by the Spirit of the Lord? Sword of the Spirit. I think sometimes we forget that part, Spirit. So it's in the spiritual realm. We don't have to carry around our own swords, hacking away at people. Because we're either so right or we're so wrong. So we gotta chop it up. You know, do we walk around chopping people up in our natural ability? Well, it's the sword of the Lord. Cha-ching, cha-ching. The whole phrase is sword of the Spirit. So once again, take the sword to the Spirit. Ha-cha it in the Spirit. Wail and pray on your face for 5 hours for that person that gives you such a hard time. For the one that's the most annoying that you just, ooh. You want to handle that? Get on your face before the Lord. And allow him to work in your heart his mercy and his grace. Because what if the Lord would have hachad you when you were so annoying? He responded in love. He responded in grace. He responded in mercy. Extravagant love. Lavish love. When was the last time we lavishly loved on somebody just because? Or was it because, well, if they love me, I love them, and we love each other. And lavish love. Lavish love. Lavish it. Give it away. Stuff. It's great stuff. It's powerful stuff. It can turn the most wicked, wicked of person into the most holy and righteous one. Who? Because when revelation of love, who is God Almighty, because in him again is fullness, if they receive it, they have to be willing to receive it. But if they're willing to receive it, it can turn the darkest person around. If they don't choose to receive it, then you've done your part, and that's between them and the Lord, and you bless them and you release them. But let us keep our spiritual perspective that the enemy is a liar, intended to kill, steal, and destroy. And the Lord is fullness of truth. We are called to offer resistance, to act in opposition. You know, truth is truth, regardless of our opinions. And that's why opinions are so, you know, we've been talking about that for a while or whatever, and, you know, submitted opinions and such. Because we can put our own spin on just about anything. But truth is truth. And that's why it's so important to submit those opinions, to submit those thinking, our thoughts to the Lord. Because I can take truth and I can put my own flavor and spin on it and think, well, I'm walking in the truth, it's right there. But are you walking in truth, truth? Or are you walking in your version of truth? And the only way to know the difference? Oh, get so close to the Lord. Get lost in the Lord. Get so overwhelmed, covered up, hidden in him, that there's no room for your truth. If there's only true truth, which is Jesus. Which is Jesus. And so truth is truth. you know, and sometimes because of different heart issues, hurts, wounds, what have you, we can sometimes try to justify our behavior, try to justify decisions. So when truth comes at us, well, that's just the way you do it. I do it different. Well, that's the way Dylan does it. That's the way Mikey does it. That's the way Lawrence does it. Or that's the way Pastor Mary Pat does it. Or that's the way Ashley does it. So I do it my own way. We really have to guard our hearts from that. If it's truth, and it's Jesus, and Dylan's doing it, I'm going to do it like Dylan. 100 times over, 50 million times over. Or Mike, or Lawrence, or Ashley, or Deanne, or Jamie, or whoever. Because if it's truth, that is what I want. And we have to guard our hearts from saying, well, that's just the way they do it. But maybe that's not accurate. Go to the truth. Go to Jesus. Go to the source. And if that is truth, then go after it. Go after it with everything you've got. Because truth is truth. So we need to guard our hearts sometimes with that. Well, you know, whatever. That's just how they are. That's how they do it. I don't have to do it that way. If the Bible says it, yeah, you kind of do. I kind of do. Because it's in the Bible. Because that is truth. Yes? Because truth is truth. So continue to submit those opinions and thinking and all of that jazz to the Lord so that it can be purified and refined by Him. So that we are, truth is truth. And if it's not the whole truth and they put their own spin or I'm putting my own spin or what have you, bless me, pray for me. And allow the Lord to show you truth, you know, whatever. But better to guard our hearts from judging. Better to guard our hearts from, whatever. I got a better way or I'll do it different. Well, that's just the way that group does it. Or that's just the way they do it. Or is that the way Jesus did it? Maybe they do it that way because that's what Jesus did. I don't know, maybe. Maybe that could be the case. And if that is the case, we don't want to be on the other side of the fence. We want to be right where the Lord is, in truth. You know, and in verse 16, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Praying in the Spirit on all occasions. Praying in the Spirit brings edification, brings strength in my inner man. That cultivates intimacy with the Lord. That cultivates closeness. That cultivates the knowing of Him. To know Him is to know more truth. Because He is truth. The closer I am to the Lord, the more I know the Lord. Then the more truth I know. You know, and it says here, praying in the Spirit on, I mean, obviously that's not the only way. One of the ways is praying in the Spirit on all occasions. You know, and take that as a encouragement, a challenge if you want, to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Are you praying in the Spirit on all occasions? You know, are you cruising down the street singing Shabbatabayaya, you know? Are we praying in the Spirit? Are we edifying ourselves? Are we keeping ourselves strong in the Lord? Are we staying connected? Are we staying in that place of edification in our spirit so that we are strong, so that those muscles of resistance in the spiritual realm are conditioned and worked? You know, like when you start weight training or working out or whatever. You know, at first, maybe you can only do 5 push-ups. The more you do it, you know, you build yourself up to 8, to 10, to whatever and whatever. Maybe you can only hold a squat for 2 minutes, and after weeks of doing it, you know, you can sit there, you know, for however much longer. Every time you resist the enemy, every time that you resist and you offer an opposition, you act in opposition, you offer resistance, those spiritual muscles are being built. So pretty soon, you're just like a wall, like, okay, come at me. Because I know you're a liar. I know your schemes. I have a big God. Here I am. fully armored with the Lord's armor. You know, maybe some of us haven't been offering resistance, so maybe we're a little weak. Maybe we're a little weak. And the Lord wants to get you pumping, get you going, so that resistance is being offered. When things are put in your way, when, you know, clicking on the internet is too tempting, when, you know, whatever, any other sin that would try to entangle us. You know, he wants us to build our, you know, we resist. We stand firm by calling somebody, by running away like Joseph did, by, you know, and that's kind of weird. How can you stand firm and run like he did? But he was standing firm in position and in authority. He physically ran away because that was the best way out, the quickest way out. He ran. But he stood firm in his convictions. He stood firm in his love for the Lord. He stood firm in humility because he put the Lord before himself. You know, how many times do we prefer the Lord? You know, we always talk about, you know, I prefer you. You can get coffee before me. I prefer you. You can take a shower before me. How many times do we prefer the Lord? Lord, what do you want today? Lord, what do you know, I have my own ideas on how you want to handle this. But what do you prefer, Lord? What's your thinking? What do you got to say? You know, how many times do we do that? How many times do we prefer the Lord? That's how we humble ourselves, church. You prefer the Lord and his ways above my own ways. I want to stay close to time. I'm going to go through some quick examples. I'm not going to read all of them for the sake of time, but at least to give, put it out there. You know, just examples, biblical examples of people who encountered lies, wrestled with lies, some who stayed in the lie, and some who were able to push through that. In Genesis 3, the account of Eve and Adam falling for the lie. So from the very beginning, we can see that the devil, the liar, because lies is his native tongue, that's what he speaks. Catch that. His native tongue is lies. He lies. So anyways, in Genesis 3, the account of, you know, when the serpent, the woman said to the serpent, you may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So what was the lie there that Eve might have been believing? When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. So there was a lie somewhere. She fit into, obviously, the lie that it's okay, it's all right, God, what have you. So there was a lie that she bit into literally, and she ate literally in the natural and in the spirit. But then something that caught my attention that, you know, you read it a lot and hear it. But she said she also gave some to her husband who was with her. Oh Lord, may my lie, may the lies that I'm believing, may I not be handing them out for others to eat from. May I not be that stumbling block. May my lies, the junk that I carry and believe that is wrong, may I not be handing those out for others to partake of. Have I facilitated that? Have I, you know, been a part of that? And not from a shame, you're bad, you've done it wrong, but from that place of, oh Lord, may it not be me. May the lie that I have consumed, may the lies that I have partaken of,
I guess the point being, church, that we need to recognize that what we do does affect other people. Whether you recognize that or not, whether you choose to believe that or not, it doesn't matter. Truth is, it affects other people. Your stuff affects other people, whether it's for good or whether for not so good. She partook of it, and then she gave it to her husband so that he could partake of the same lie from the enemy. Oh, allow that to work in your heart and in your spirit. And then obviously we know the whole account and Jesus and redemption and babies and future and gardens and whatever. So there was redemption for them and such. There was, you know, forgiveness and sacrifice and what have you. But there was that moment where they gave in to that lie. And again, there was redemption for them as well. Look at my journal. Okay. Look at my journal. you know, in Abraham in Genesis 15, 4, Genesis 16, 1 through 4, and even in 17, talks about the account of Abraham where the Lord came and said, you're going to have a baby, you're going to be father of many nations. And then Sarah came in and said, you know, it's not happening. So why don't we just make our own baby? You sleep with the girl, Hagar lady, I believe. And then later, the Lord came to Moses again and said, you know, I said I was going to give you a baby. And in the account, it actually says that, at least in the NIV version, that Moses fell on his face laughing and saying, can a 100-year-plus man conceive a baby? And Sarah, who was however old, 90-something, really have a baby. And so there was that wrestling with the lies that there had been a promise released. And somewhere they started believing the lie that God's not going to come through for you. He's not going to come through for you. How long ago did he tell you that you were going to be the father of nations? Maybe we need to handle it our way. Maybe we need to take care of it. What were the lies that Abraham and Sarai, before and after, were believing in that season in their life? There was a lie that was, many lies probably, that were being believed there. So they took it into their own hands, and again, we know the full account where Jesus loves Moses and they're good before the Lord. But again, just an example of where lies crept in to try to steal from them the destiny and purpose and promises that the Lord had. Also an amazing picture of how God is bigger than all of that, because he still came forth and gave them, fulfilled that promise. In Exodus 32, talks about Moses and Aaron, the account where Moses had gone up, and you know, Aaron and the people started coming around Aaron, hey, Moses is gone, dude. We need something here. Let's create something. Aaron gave in, built the calf or whatever, and you know, they did their thing. Then Moses come down, and whoa, what happened? Again, somewhere in there was believing a lie. Again, that the Lord wasn't going to come through, that he knew better than Moses, that he, you know, there was a high road that he was taking. You know, there was something not right, or else he wouldn't have acted out in that way. He wouldn't have given in. And again, there was redemption and restoration in that process as well. But how many times do we start building our own idols and start building our own ways? Because again, we think that the Lord's not going to come through. We start listening to the crowd around us. Hey, why don't you just do it this way? Oh, you're waiting for your wife. You're waiting for your husband. Weirdo. You know, why don't you just go and, you know, date a few. What's up with that? You know, who cares? Whatever. Or, you know, waiting for the job or the house or whatever it is that your situation is. Aaron was influenced by the fear of those around him. He gave in to the fear of the people saying, Moses isn't coming back and we need something to worship. Build us a calf. So Aaron fed off of their lie because he somewhere in there was also believing a lie. Again, whatever that was, just throwing this out there for you to ponder. And if you have more revelation, please share with me later. But point being, again, the enemy came to try to take away, to steal, to destroy. Moses, Exodus 3:4. You see Moses wrestling with truth and with lies. When the Lord appeared to him, burning bush, said, I'm going to send you to speak to Pharaoh. And what did Moses say? I can't do that. I can't even speak correctly. I can't. What was the lie there? I'm not equipped. I'm not called to this. I can't do it. I'm not your man. I fear, you know, all kinds of things came against him. But you see him in a dialogue with the Lord where Moses would say, but who am I to do that? And the Lord says, I am sending you, but I can't talk. I got that covered. I got somebody. Well, I have no authority, no power. Yes, you do. Drop your staff. Ooh, boom. You know, so there was a dialogue. There was a wrestling with truth and lies. And Moses grabbed onto truth, told the devil to shut up, and set a nation free, set the captives free. You know, so maybe the enemy has been stealing from you in your thoughts, or you've been believing lies about your future and your destiny, what you were created for, what he designed you for. You've been believing, I'm not that man or that woman. I can't do that. I can't handle that. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not trained enough. Wrestle with those. Put them down. Offer resistance. And run to the Lord. He wants to use you to deliver, set free captives, nations, people. And then we have some examples of where people were able to just not even entertain lies. You know, like Esther, obviously in the book of Esther. You know, a young woman called to, you know, that her mission was kind of big. You know, she had to go before a king and plead for her people. Now I put myself in that place, I'd be believing a lot of lies. You know, I'm sure those thoughts of insecurity came against her. Of what am I doing here? Like, I can't do this. I'm just the little brown girl from down the street. How am I supposed to talk to the guy, the king? But she didn't even go there. She said, all right, the divine strategy is everybody fast, everybody pray. I'm going to get all dolled up and go in there and tell him this is what you're going to do, and he's going to do it. Why? Because there was confidence in there. There was truth. She had revelation of the fullness of God, that he sent her and that he was going to come through for her. And all she needed to do was seek his divine strategy for that situation. And entertaining lies, not an option. Why? Because there was a nation at stake. There was the bigger picture at stake. So what is your bigger picture? What is the bigger picture? The kingdom of God. So don't let the enemy trick you. Don't let the enemy get all crafty on you with lies. She didn't even go there. And if she did, it was quick, repentant, and moved on, obviously, because she went and did her thing. You know, and then you see David against the giant in 1 Samuel 17, which is one we're familiar with. But nonetheless, lies kept coming at him when the little guy is like, I'm going to go take out that giant. You can't do it. You're not big enough. Who are you? Ha, 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 ha. You're a little boy. You're a sheep keeper. Blah, 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 blah. Lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. But what did David do? Again, if he was carrying hurts, wounds, and issues because he was picked on all his life, probably couldn't have handled that situation. But he was ready. He was in, he tried to put on the king's armor. It was too big. But he was already, he had already put on the armor of the Lord in a sense. He was already geared up for it. What did he do? He went in, he killed the giant, and done. Confidence in truth, confidence in Jesus, confidence in who he was, but more so confidence in the Lord who created him, in the Lord and who you are. Awesome that we can be confident in our identity. more awesome that we're confident in the one who gave us that identity. You know, that he's coming through, and it all ends up being wrapped up all in one. Our confidence needs to be in the Lord and who we are, and out of that, thank you, Lord. Out of that stems out our identity. But that we are confident in the Lord. You know, Deborah in Judges 4:5, you know, she also called to a big task, you know, she was the judge woman and, called to help set free, people, a nation. You know, as a judge, is Deborah being put in that position again? All kinds of lies coming against her. Well, you're a woman. You shouldn't be judging. You can't do that, especially, you know, then. Or, you know, nobody else could do the job, so we put you, or whatever some interpretations are, which are lies as well. But Deborah, confident in who she was, confident in the Lord, no lie was able to deter her, regardless of what was going on around her, from the goal, from the end, from the big picture, which was freedom, freedom for people, freedom for nations. And I'm sure in her position is my point, so such a high profile, you know, that things would come against her in her own thinking or from others. But we see, again, somebody else pressing on and moving forward. And then Joshua is what I want to close up with in Numbers 13, where Joshua was sent out with part of the 12 spies to go check out the promised land, correct? So that's in Numbers 13. And so, due to time, I'm just going to kind of summarize. You know, verse 17, they came, they sent him. Okay, I'm going to read it. When Moses sent him to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and into the hill country, see what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo, somewhere. They went up through. lost my place. A lot of names. Verse 23, when they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes, two of them, and carried it on a pole between them. Wow, that is a big grape. Along with some pomegranates and figs, that place was called the Valley of Eshcol, maybe? Because of the cluster of grapes, the Israelites cut off of there, and the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. Verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Parnia. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly, showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses the account and went into the land to which you sent us. And it does flow with milk and honey, and here it's its fruit. The people who live there are powerful, and their cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there, the Amalekites, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him, whoa, what are you on? We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. And all the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same at them. So here they are. They're sent out to check out the land. And they come back saying, yes, there's milk, there's honey, there's fruit, it's the promised land, it's good, it's great, but we can't go there because it's too tough, because there's really tall people that are going to hurt us. And Caleb and Joshua were the ones, you know, they rose up. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. You know, what promised land does the Lord have out there for you that is rich with milk and honey, with fruit, with the best of the best, but because of fears and intimidation from the enemy, because of lies, we've retreated and said, yeah, it's really good. The Lord has the very best for me, but I'm not going to go there because it's too scary, because I can't, because the devil's too big and I'm too small. Cynthia, who would think that? We're Christians, for heaven's sake. Is it evident in your life? Do we live that abundant life day in and day out? Or have we been intimidated by the lies of the enemy saying you can't possess the land. You can't possess that territory in your life because the enemies that are there are too big and too much for you. When the Lord is saying, in me is fullness of truth. And if I said that land is yours, then it is yours. All you got to do is stand up and stand firm and resist the devil and he will flee. So you are able to take that land. Enjoy the honey. Oh, enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Enjoy the milk that nurtures and nourishes, to partake of the good fruit, the abundance of the land, the abundance of life, the abundance of goodness that he has to offer you. It's time to stop being intimidated by the enemy, because he's a liar. Because he is a liar. And there's no truth in him. It's a cloud of smoke intended to keep you away from the very best. He blows smoke in your face to convince you that you can't see, you can't hear. And the Lord is saying, I am here with my wind, with the wind of the Spirit, to blow away every cloud, to undo every lie, to invade you with my truth and my fullness. Oh, church, that if we could be like Caleb and Joshua, that had that spiritual perspective. Yeah, sure, they saw big people and they saw, you know, not pretty things. But their position, their perspective was, the Lord is saying, this is for you. And they were wanting and really and ready to go up and take possession of the land. For we can certainly do it. Certainly do it. Not maybe, or maybe if we do this and you go there and whatever. Certainly we can do this. The Lord today is saying, church, certainly you can do it. Certainly you can live a life of holiness, of purity, of righteousness. Certainly you can do it. Certainly you can kick the devil in the face and live an abundant life. In me. Covered in me. You know, the messages that we have been hearing, dialing the pursuit of God, the pursuit of God, the passionate pursuit of the Lord, intimacy, relationship. We are the salt of the earth. Mike, sharing that, how we flavor this world. Can we offer flavor to the world when we believe lies, when we're intimidated? No. We have been called to be light and salt. That there's no passivity from Lawrence in the kingdom. That humility is the key. That humility is the key. So that when we stand firm, completely covered in truth, overtaken by truth, We can offer that opposition. We can resist the enemy in all humility, giving all glory to the Lord, magnifying the Lord, lifting up the Lord, that there is nothing of it, of me in there. No desires, no selfishness, no selfish desires. You know, because we can get a little cocky and arrogant and be, well, I'm the devil slayer. Come here. No. I mean, yes, in the Lord, no, in our own strength. We end up worse than what we started when we do that. Certainly, you can do it. You can possess the land. You can possess the territory, the promises of God, the goodness of God. And all of this because of why? Because of love. Because of love of the Father. Because the love of the Father. You know, number goes on and the verse 18, 14, 18. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. Slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving sin and rebellion. So all of it because of love, for love. Because his extravagant love for you, for me, for the people that he intended for us to impact. Because of love. Because of love, he wants us to capture that in our hearts. That truth, that Jesus is truth. In him is fullness of truth. And anything that doesn't line up with that comes from the father of lies, whose native tongue is lies. With his master scheme and plan of killing, stealing, and destroying. And what's the Lord's plan and strategy and purpose? To give us life. Life and life abundant. Abundant life. A lavish life. An over the top. Over the top. Over the top life. Over the top. Lavish, lavish. Oh, such a lavish life. A rich life. An abundant life. Full of every good and perfect thing. Every good and perfect thing. Every good and perfect thing for you. The very best. The very best of the land. The milk and the honey, the fruit. The very best. He wants to lavish. He wants to pour out. He wants to continue to give. Let us position ourselves fully, fully covered in his armor. Fully covered in his armor. Every day, that truth would be around our waist. That peace would take us and prepare us, always being ready. That our breastplate, that our hearts would be guarded in purity and holiness and righteousness. That our head covering would be our redemption and our deliverance, filtered through freedom. That we would be shielded with that faith, confidence in the Lord, that he is trustworthy. That we would take up our sword, which is Jesus, the Word of God. So Father, we just thank you, Lord. We bless you, Holy One. Father, and I just asking you to move in this time, Lord, as you desire to move upon each heart, Lord. That you would just pour out, Father, that revelation, Lord Jesus, that encounter with you, a fullness of truth that is truth, that is you, Lord. Father, that you would begin to unravel and untangle, Lord, every lie of the enemy intended for destruction. Father, intended to kill and steal and destroy, Lord. Father, that the intimidation of the enemy, Father, that has been hounding and tormenting some of the people in this room, Lord, would stop. We thank you, Father, for the authority that we have in you. Father, that you would stir us up, Lord, that you would light us up, Father, that we would offer that resistance in the face of sin. In the face of darkness, when the day of evil comes, Lord, that we would be able to offer resistance, that we would operate in an opposite spirit, Lord. I just thank you, Father, for just your spirit of wisdom and revelation, Father, that we would be able to see things from your spiritual perspective, Lord, that we would have divine strategy, Lord Jesus. Divine strategy, Holy One. We thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, that you would make us hungry, passionate, hungry lovers of you, Lord. That we would chase after you, Father. We would chase after truth. That we would chase after truth, Lord. In every heart, in every pocket of our lives, in every corner, in every realm, in every room, Lord. That truth, Father, would invade and would impact. I just see a bunch of light switches being flipped on. So I just thank you, Father, for your light, for you that is light, how to step in. You're stepping into the rooms of our hearts. You're stepping in into who we are, Father, and you're flipping on lights. Oh, exposing the darkness for what it is, Father. Oh, say thank you, Lord, for that release right now, Father, that you are flipping on lights, that eyes that have been, unable to see will be able to see, Lord. We'll be able to see, Father God. No more darkness. Oh, no more entanglement. No more, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are the light of this world, that you are the light that brings that truth, Lord. So I thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, I thank you that your word says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh, Father, that is truth. That is truth, Lord. So I thank you, Father, for a release in this house, Lord. If there's been unbelief, doubt, or fear from that statement that I'm not really free or I'm kind of free, well, sometimes Lord. Thank you, Father, that they are under our feet, Lord God. That they are under our feet, Lord Jesus. I just also see another picture of chains, shackles. People not realizing that they're not shackled. A group of people not realizing that there's no chains on them. Maybe some of us have been so entangled in sin pattern that we haven't been able to see that in the Lord we are free. Does that make sense? You've carried around a chain so much that even when the Lord lifted it, you thought it was still there. So you continue to operate as though you were chained up. But the Lord is saying the chain has been removed. I have removed that chain. So you don't have to live that life any longer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One, for the new that we are in you, Lord God. The new that we are in you, Lord Jesus. And every lie, Lord, that speaks against that in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, we offer those up to you right now, Father. We offer those lies to you. Lord, I'm asking that because of love, because of grace, because of your goodness, Father, whatever you want to expose in this moment, Lord, whatever you want to do, Lord God, I'm just asking that you would do that in each heart, Lord, that it would be a real personal time, Lord God. Father, whatever you want to do, Lord, if there's a lie that we have been believing, I thank you for exposing that so that it could be dealt with, Lord Jesus. Father, if it's more love from you in any hearts, more healing, Father, whatever you are doing, Lord, I thank you, Holy One. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you're hearing each cry. I thank you that you're hearing each heart in this room. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord. If some of us have been walking around with parts missing from our armor, maybe, as I said, maybe we're missing the helmet or maybe the belt or, we've been walking around with half the armor on. I just believe that the Lord wants to bring that, restore that into the fullness of which he intended. So I just thank you, Father, for restoring, for bringing that back, however you do it in the spirit, Lord. But I just thank you, Father, that we would walk out here, Lord, fully, fully covered in you, Lord. Full armor, Lord God. Full armor, Lord. Full armor, Lord. Full armor. Full armor, Father, for your laid down lovers, Father, for your end time warriors. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father. Oh, yes, Lord, as warriors for you, Lord, it's foolish of us to try to fight the battle without your armor. Father, forgive us, Lord, where we've gone into battle without your armor. Oh, maybe that's why we haven't seen results. Maybe that's why things haven't happened. We haven't attained the territory because we've gone into battle without the armor of the Lord. We've gone into battle with our own armor. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for turning that around right now, Lord. Father, that as we offer that to you, Lord, as we repent and renounce these lies, Father, that led up to those decisions, we just thank you, Holy One, for your redemption and for your deliverance. For making every crooked path straight. I just thank you for that, Lord. That every crooked path would be made straight today, Father. Line us up. Line us up, Lord, to your heart. Line us up, Lord Jesus. Line us up. Thank you, Holy One. And Father, I just thank you that you are going to release, Lord, just more revelation, Father, individually on how we resist, Lord, how we rise up and act in the opposite spirit, Lord Jesus, that no more ignoring, no more patting sin on the back, no more, Father, no more, Lord, but that we would be able to see it for what it is. Through your eyes of love, knowing that there's no shame or condemnation in you, Lord. I just thank you for that. We thank you, Holy One. Bless you, Father.
I believe that the Lord wants to cause a shift for many of us from shunning evil to resisting evil. And that there's a lot of people in here who feel like they've been resisting it, and it's a cycle that keeps coming back to them. And there's that shift in mentality where you're no longer shunning it, but you're actively resisting it. So if there's any, I'm going to have you guys just close your eyes real quick. If there's any of you guys who feel like you've continually tried to resist, but it keeps coming back, like there's this cycle that keeps returning, this habitual sin that keeps coming back at your doorstep. Okay. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each person. Thank you, Lord, for the desires that they have, Father God, to honor you, to see you working, to see victory in their lives, Father God. And today, Lord God, we draw that line in the sand and we say no more. Father, no more will we shun evil, but we actively resist it, Father God, where we pursue you, where we seek your face, Father God, and we take a stance, Father, that says no more in our lives will we allow the enemy to bring this to our doorstep. And if he does, we will respond, Father God. We were praying through this last week. A lot of people think that victory means that sin is no longer going to come to your doorstep. But real victory is about your response to the sin coming to your doorstep. That it's not about necessarily not having to battle, but it's about being victorious in the battle. And the Lord's calling us to be victorious in that battle. So if that keeps coming to your doorstep, if there's a sin that keeps coming to you, don't back away from it instantly feeling like you've lost. That's just the battle. That's where the victory takes place. When that sin comes to your doorstep, it's how you respond. So Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've given the boldness within each person here to respond, Father God, with an expectation for victory, that every time that sin comes to their door, they respond with a mentality that they are called to the abundant life, that they have a victory available for them, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that you strengthen them for the battle, that they actively pursue you, Father God, that they seek your face, that they would seek counsel, that they would band together with brothers and sisters of a like kind heart, Father, and that they would see victory in their lives. That they would continually pursue you, that they would continually, Father God, seek your face so that corrosion begins to stop, Father God, and it reverses. Where there's territory taken back and it's no longer being fought just to keep it, but they begin to take it back. Lord, I thank you for that victory in each person's life. I thank you, Father God, that you've given them the victory, that you've given them, Lord God, you've equipped them with the very tools and the weapons necessary to step that out and live that in the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we just ask that you would continue the good work that you have begun today, Father. Bringing it into full completion, Lord Jesus. We just thank you, Father, for your heart of love, for your desire to lavish us with the very best, for equipping us, for showing us the schemes of the enemy, Father, and how we can resist. So I just thank you, Lord, for that, Father. We bless you and we thank you, Father. And I just thank you that truth would remain. That truth would remain in hearts, Lord. Just thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we are equipped for battle. That we are equipped to lay down, to be laid down lovers, Lord, firmly planted. And after we have done everything to stand, that we would stand firm again. that we would continue to stand firm. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hanging in there with me with my stuff going on. Well, God bless you. If you need any additional prayer, I'll be here around for a little bit. And Josh has an announcement. And then just a reminder that today kicks off our worship week. Woo-woo! So starting from this Sunday through the whole week until next Sunday, worship here from 7 to 9. You're welcome to bring friends, family, strangers. And the main focus, the main goal is worship. As before, we've done a 24/7 prayer, and the focus was prayer there. Not saying that we're not going to pray, because we probably will, because that's what we do here. But it is mainly, you know, worship and however Holy Spirit would move and lead. So I encourage you to come out. So that means that all regularly scheduled evening outreaches are postponed for this week so that everyone is available to come. So in case you didn't know that, you know, whether that's Mount Union or Malone or whatever else happens in the evenings, we're postponing that. Hopefully your team leaders, ministry team leaders, have gotten a hold of you. But everything is being postponed so that we are available and able to join to come. So 7 to 9, and I have a whole row of people. Okay. Okay, and Christy.